Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel media and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English and numerous other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. We invite you to join them so you can be blessed too. Last week on Hope for Today, we began studying from the closing verses of Daniel chapter 2. Our study was titled, A Forever Kingdom. In the beginning of our study, we noted that God reveals in this text His forever kingdom through a series of divine actions. The first action we looked at was an answer obtained. Now, as we return to our study, I will read the text, Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 24. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed, to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king, and said thus to him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah, who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven, He has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, insomuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Now there's a second divine action in revealing this forever kingdom, and it is an image explained. Daniel now narrates the king's dream as though he actually saw it. The central part of the dream is this great image. Is this where Nebuchadnezzar got the idea for his own image? Well, I don't know, but at any rate, this wasn't some little figurine. I believe this image was huge. It was impressive in its size. After all, it represents the major kingdom of Daniel's world and several successors. The word great places emphasis on the power this image represents. And interestingly, of all the things God could have chosen to reveal this information, he chose the figure of a man. Feinberg suggests that the figure of a man was employed here because God wished to make known what would transpire during man's day, during those ages in which mortal man ruled the earth. And so here, in one panoramic sweep, the whole history of human civilization is spread before us, from the days of Nebuchadnezzar to the end of time. Now, let's look carefully at this image, and I want you to try to create a picture in your mind to visualize what it looked like. In addition to being huge, it was bright and glistening. It was arrayed in splendor. And in the king's dream, it was close. It stood before him or in front of him. It was also awesome and terrifying. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was a brave man, but even he was frightened. Daniel then goes on to describe the various materials the image was made from. The head was purest gold. Silver was the material that made up the breast and the arms. The torso and the thighs were made from brass or bronze. The legs were constructed of iron, and finally, the feet and toes were a mixture of iron and clay. So what we have is a top-heavy image. Gold is the heaviest, and all the other elements beneath it decrease in density. And furthermore, the image is weak in its feet. That signifies an unstable foundation. Now I want you to watch what happens. As the king is looking at this image, a stone is cut out from the side of a mountain. But that stone is not cut out in a normal way, by a stonecutter or a mason. Instead, it is supernaturally cut out without human hands. This stone flies through the air and smashes into the image at its weakest point, the feet, blowing them to smithereens. And then the whole image crumbles and dissolves into pieces that are so fine, they're carried away on the wind like chaff from the summer threshing floor. In other words, they totally disappear. They're gone for good. But this supernatural stone that destroyed the image becomes a great mountain and fills the whole earth. That's an amazing sequence of events. Okay, so you and I, along with Nebuchadnezzar, have the details of the dream fixed in our minds. But what does all this mean? Well, in verse 36, Daniel says, "This is the dream. And now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king." I want to make sure you notice what Daniel said. We will give the interpretation. He didn't say, "I will give the interpretation." Daniel knew that God was the one who had shown him the dream and the interpretation of it. And God had done that in response to the prayers of Daniel and his friends. Daniel's spirit of humility is a wonderful example for each of us. So Daniel begins his interpretation of the image. "You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand, and he has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold." Now I can imagine that must have made King Nebuchadnezzar feel pretty good. Daniel acknowledges the greatness and the superiority of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. He has power, he has strength, he has glory. The city of Babylon contained the hanging gardens one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And Nebuchadnezzar's power as a ruler was absolute, as you can see from his treatment of his counselors. He is a king of kings. The prophet Ezekiel also refers to Nebuchadnezzar in this same way, in his victory over the kingdom of Tyre. You can read about that in Ezekiel chapter 26 and verse 7. Daniel reminds the king that wherever human beings live, along with the animal kingdom, you are ruler over all. However, you have this position by virtue of God's choosing. Daniel reminds the king that what he has been given by God. And then the second and third kingdoms are just barely mentioned in the text. They just get one verse. Daniel states that the second kingdom will be inferior to Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. Most Bible scholars agree that these kingdoms, corresponding to the upper and lower parts of the body, represent the kingdoms of Medo-Persia and Greece. Now, the Medo-Persian Empire, led by Cyrus the Great, would have been inferior in quality to Babylon from Nebuchadnezzar's viewpoint, and it was also in reality. The Medo-Persian monarchs could not annul a law once it went into effect. So that restricted the absolute authority of the king. The use of the word inferior means inferior in quality, but not necessarily inferior in every aspect. Obviously, gold is of greater value than silver or bronze. But Persia actually controlled more territory than Babylon, and the Greek Empire was larger than Persia. However, neither of those empires had the kind of central organization that the Babylonian Empire had. Then, the kingdom that succeeded Medo-Persia was Greece, under Alexander the Great. Its territory was even larger than that of Medo-Persia. And Greece dominated the ancient world from 331 to 31 BC. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, A Forever Kingdom. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, A Forever Kingdom. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, A Forever Kingdom, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, A Forever Kingdom. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.